This is the only fantasy football podcast you'll need to help you win in week 9 and beyond. And we work hard to keep it that way. This is the Fantasy Football Today podcast from CBSSports.com, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use offer code. Yeah, you already know what it is. It's fun. Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg here with you on a Friday morning to talk about the Thursday night game and potentially the collapse of Cam Newton in fantasy football circles, as well as all of the AFC home games. We'll get some news and notes mixed in there too. And if we have time, we will also provide some email answers with things that we have on our mind. So let's start with the Saints putting up 28 points on the Carolina Panthers, defense looking strong, and taking advantage of an offensive line in Carolina down 3 starters. And we knew that the offensive line was going to be a problem all along, Jamie, but it really made a big impact in Cam Newton being able to drop back and having time to throw, completed just 10 passes.
Yeah, he was ugly. He didn't get a lot of help, had some drops. You know, I think Kelvin Benjamin could have scored at least one touchdown. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think you look at it as he's just been too difficult to trust. He's just one of those guys at this point that you kind of know what he is. He's going to need to run with a lot of success to help your fantasy team. He's going to have to get some help from his receivers, at least, you know, one touchdown from one guy, two would be nice. I thought, you know, the touchdown dive was fantastic. You know, that the run that he had.
Amazing there. Play. I thought he hurt his wrist earlier on that drive.
He did hurt his wrist. I mean, you know, he played through it, but mm-hmm. He hurt his wrist. His left wrist, the way he came down on it, wasn't, yeah. You know, pretty. But, you know, look, he's we didn't have him ranked as a starter for a reason coming into the year. And, you know, I said it, you know, I'm surprised how many people were in our industry were so high on him. You know, and I think it's just you got to get past the reputation. You know, it's. I think you said it very appropriately prior to the season that he is a great keeper league target and dynasty league target.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to talk about in a couple minutes.
In the future, he could be fantastic.
I think he could be outstanding as soon as 2015. Huge bounce back candidate. A positive to take away from this game. Third time in 4 weeks, I believe, he's had at least 40 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's afraid to run anymore. And I think obviously he's not afraid to if you look at the touchdown. But also he had some other runs throughout the game that were pretty impressive. And Kelvin Benjamin, yes, he should have scored a touchdown, had too many drops. But there were also some off-target passes that if they were just a little bit closer, a little bit more accuracy, you would have seen Kelvin Benjamin had a great game, not just a good game, which is what he would have had if he caught a touchdown, but he ended up having a crappy game, 2 catches for 18 yards on 10 targets. Do not lose faith in Kelvin Benjamin or Greg Olsen, who just didn't have nearly as many targets. Olsen struggles consistently against the Saints. Now, New Orleans got a great game from Drew Brees, 3 yards shy of 300, only 1 passing touchdown, and that's a little disappointing, but he made up for it with a touchdown run. Ingram, 30 carries, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, will probably end up being one of the best running backs in fantasy this week. Jimmy Graham, no more worries about him, had 7 targets, caught them all, 83 yards and a touchdown that you could have seen coming from a mile away, set up from a pass interference call in the end zone. Kenny Stills, a surprising 8 targets, 5 catches, 72 yards. What do you think of him moving forward? Is this somebody who should be owned in every 10 and 12 team league?
We know they play a lot of their games indoors. They have a situation with a receiving core that, you know, we looked at it coming into the year and said, okay, if Colson can stay healthy, he's going to be okay. You know, not going to ever rebound to the level that he was at before, but, you know, serviceable. And I think that's what he's been. We like Brandon Cooks. He's definitely much better indoors than outdoors. He's the new indoor Lance Moore.
only 3 targets, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about that.
No, but you look at it again. His numbers indoors, his numbers outdoors, night and day.
I don't know if it's the outdoors thing. He played all of his college ball outdoors.
All these guys
did.
But
it's the surface that matters.
All these guys.
Not guys in Syracuse.
Okay. I think you look at it as, when the Saints play inside in their building,
you can trust those receivers.
You can trust those receivers to varying degrees.
What if they're on the road but in a dome?
Same thing. I
mean,
one of Cook's best games was Week 1 against Atlanta in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
he's only had 2 good games.
They had 3. Right?
2.
We had one game that was like 7 for 77. So I mean, that was
That was fine for PPR.
Yeah.
But he's starting to lose his luster in PPR leagues too. Let's move a little faster through this game. Colston stunk. We know he's bad on grass, too. It's almost like the Saints know it. Like, they know that Colston can't use you because you're going to be slow. And Brandon Cooks, we know that you're going to struggle a little bit, so we're not going to use you either. But Kenny Stills, you're fast. Let's try and lean on you a little bit more.
They have, I think, their formula is outdoors, we're going to run. Indoors, we're going to do what we do.
I hope that's what they're thinking, because that'll make it a lot easier for fantasy owners. The one point I want to make about Carolina moving forward is that they should be beastly in 2015. I imagine that Cam will stay. I imagine that there will be a new... Right, Cam will stay. Did he sign a contract extension or didn't he? I don't think he has, right?
I don't think he has.
Right, and I don't think he's going to.
They're not letting him go.
I don't think they are either, but there should be a new offensive coordinator in place, a whole new playbook that really takes advantage of Cam and what he can do. Kelvin Benjamin is a legit stud. I think he's going to be fantastic moving forward. They are one wide receiver, probably one running back, definitely one running back, and at least two offensive linemen away from being one of the best offenses in football.
I don't know what the contract situation with those running backs and how it impacts.
Whatever it is, let them go. I mean, they did fine yesterday, or at least Stewart did fine. He averaged over 5 yards per carry, and D'Angelo had the 30-yard catch. I swear, if he had scored, I would have freaked out, because remember those touchdowns he had last year where they were, you know, these little catches long. And then he makes them long?
He was Anton Smith last year.
They were. It's so hard to predict that stuff. It's a pain in the butt. All right, Jamie, I know you've got some news that you're sitting on. Let's get to it. Let's comment on it.
Well, you know, we spoke to Jason Okafor last night on Thursday Night Live, and he gave us some good news, some bad news. It sounds as if Giovanni Bernard is not going to play this week. You're going to have to stay tuned and see if he practices today. There's nothing definitive. We're just going on based on the news that we have and what Jason told us. And so I would be prepared to be without him. I don't even have him ranked this week. I zeroed out his projections.
I'll wait till Friday to do that, but I'm probably headed down the same path.
So Jeremy Hill is a nice sleeper this week. You know, if you've been sitting him on your bench, he could be a serviceable number two running back, because you know they're not going to lean on Cedric Pierman to take away carries from Hill.
And he's still out there in 20% of CBSSports.com leagues.
Yep, so 10-team leagues you can go get him.
I did an exercise. You know, I'm in 100 leagues. So I went through all the leagues that I'm in and just made sure that Jeremy Hill was owned in every single one. And I found a league he wasn't owned in, and I picked him up off waivers. Got him. I was last on waivers, and I still got him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good starting option this week.
Yep.
A.J. Green sounds like he's going to play, but Jason said he doesn't expect him to be the A.J. Green we know and love. I don't know if I agree with that, because I think he's been sitting out so long. If they're going to put him back on the field with a Thursday game coming the following week, they're going to put him on the field to be A.J. Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he sounds, you know, he's kind of hedged his bets a little bit. You know, says he's looking forward to getting back on the field, but he also says he doesn't want to risk anything long term. I just think if he's active, you start him. You know, I just can't imagine a scenario where he's Calvin Johnson.
Jacksonville secondary is banged up too. So,
yep.
And I think they're going to have to throw a little bit.
I
don't know if he'll play when it's – if they've got a lead and they're going to just grind the clock, you're not going to see him on the field.
Sure. If they get a couple pick sixes in terms of the Bengals like the Dolphins did, that's going to impact A.J. Green's ability. But it's still A.J. Green. You have six teams on a bye. I don't know if I'm starting, you know – team's third receivers. You know, I'm not going to get cute and start John Brown over A.J. Green.
Right.
In that regard, or Dante Moncrief. So that's the Bengals. Tony Romo, Jason told us, and I think that's kind of the thinking across the league is right now, is if his pain tolerance is okay, he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
He's yet to practice. Didn't practice Wednesday. Didn't practice Thursday. I would be surprised if he practiced on Friday, but I don't think he needs to practice to play. So he's just one of those guys you're going to have to wait for on Sunday. Make alternate plans.
Would you stay away from him if he's active?
It depends what you're talking about. Like, would you go Alex Smith or Tony Romo? Would you go Brian Hoyer or Tony Romo? That's kind of, I think, what the situation is. If you could pick up a Ryan Tannehill, you go Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you could pick up, nobody else really of that caliber. Michael Vick, I wouldn't go that route. RG3, I might consider. But I probably would still stick with Romo there, too. I just think if he's going to play, he's going to play.
I think so, but I'm also worried about him taking a hit that forces
him
out of the game and then knocks him out of the game.
Totally understand
and we've seen him at not 100% this year, and it's been ugly. So I think expectations have to be tempered. I would really appreciate it if he would just practice. And we're recording this Friday morning. Hopefully by Friday afternoon, you're listening, and you know if he's practiced or not. What else is in the news, Jamie?
I mean, those are the three big storylines. You know, Ronnie Hillman's been dealing with a shoulder, but he's expected to play. Trent Richardson is back without any injury report status, so you can count on him being there. Doug Martin sounds like he's going to miss the game. We'll find out with Reggie Wayne's status by Saturday because they play Monday night. But even if he plays, I don't know if you want to trust him. It's going to hurt, you know, kill any value for Dante Moncrief. Those are really the big, you know, injuries for the week. We'll have more on the website, so check it out.
All right. So let's move on with AFC home game previews. And let's begin with the game that Giovanni Bernard might not play in. That's Jacksonville and Cincinnati. Denard Robinson's – every radio spot I've done this week has asked about Denard Robinson. And, well, he did it again, second straight week, another big game, did it against Miami. Can he make it three in a row against Cincinnati? I know what I think, Jamie, and I think I know what you think too, but why don't you tell everybody what you think?
I don't love it because I think it's going to be I know they're missing some guys on defense for the Bengals, but I think he's a number two guy. I don't know how much it's not like I'm starting him and saying, okay, I know he's going to do this. It's like I'm starting him and I'm hoping he's going to do this. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's around 80 total yards. Don't know if he'll score, but I think he's a serviceable number two running back. So I don't think he's going to. The upside is a little bit capped for me.
Let me ask you a question: How many of those serviceable number two running backs do you think are out there this week?
Now, that's the point. Yeah, I think he's in a group of a lot of serviceable guys. He's in a Justin Forsett group. He's in a Jonas Gray group. He's in a he's better than Gray, but he's in just a lump group of guys that have the chance to get enough work to, you know, like I said, I think he get 80 total yards. He scores, he's going to have a great game. You know, he's Jerick McKinnon, you know, those guys that just don't have, there's nothing slam dunk about them in their respective matchups.
I like him a little bit more than you do, but I agree that he's a number two running back. I think he's a little bit better than serviceable. And by the time that you see the rankings, he'll probably be 14th for me.
Ugh.
And it's because Cincinnati's defense, they're missing Vontaze Burfict. They're missing Ray Maaluga. Those linebackers, being without them, it's a liability. And we've seen them struggle against the run, for whatever it's worth. And I think Denard Robinson can hit the outside edges and make some plays. So I don't mind him this week. I don't know if 14 is just too high. Maybe it's a little bit higher. But I see guys like Justin Forsett, Chris Ivory, Jerick
McKinnon.
I'd rather
have Ivory 10 out of 10 over him.
Yeah. I think I have them ranked for either the same amount or one fantasy point different. But I'm a little worried about Chris Ivory in this game. Kansas City's defense has been good. And I've liked what I've seen from Jacksonville in how they use Denard Robinson. And if they continue using him that way, I think you'll be happy with him. What about the receivers for Jacksonville? Do you have any feelings about Allen Robinson or Clay Harbor? Or are those guys just kind of fill-ins this week if your starters are on a bye?
Don't like him at all, really. You know, Cincinnati's secondary has been playing very well. And, you know, I like that Robinson scored two games in a row, but mm-hmm. – PPR, I think he's an okay third receiver. Standard leagues, I wouldn't touch him.
I've got him as a third receiver in standard leagues. I think that they'll have to throw a lot, and Robinson gets the targets and could end up doing fairly well. And as for Clay Harbor, I have him ranked 17th. Jamie's got him 20th. Desperation option if you're looking for a tight end. Andy Dalton, sounds like he'll have A.J. Green. We've already talked about just how much A.J. Green is going to end up playing in this game. But if he plays, if he's active, you have to assume he'll play a decent amount, certainly be in there in passing situations. Certainly will draw coverage. I think that opens the door for Mohamed Sanu to have a good game. And I think it keeps Andy Dalton in the conversation as a low-end starter, maybe not necessarily a top 12 guy, but a player that you can use if your stud is on bye.
I think he has a good game. I mean, you mentioned it, that they're missing the guys in their secondary.
Jacksonville,
so,
yeah.
Yep.
And their pass rush is still kind of up in the air.
Yep.
The strength of that Jaguars team is against the run. But that's not going to slow me down on Jeremy Hill. I still think Jeremy Hill is good enough to start because of the workload more than anything else. And he can catch the ball. And that's something that a lot of people kind of overlook with Jeremy Hill, is that he's got a bunch of catches. I think he had three last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things that he can do. And it actually helped pitch in for Giovanni Bernard in that regard. Furthermore, I think this is a good opportunity for Jeremy Hill to prove that he can handle the workload. And if he has a good game this week, dude, you might be looking at a player who ends up starting for Cincinnati down the line with Giovanni Bernard in a lesser role. So hopefully
you're giving up on Gio already.
Huh?
You're giving up on Gio?
I'm not, but the coaches might. Just imagine if Jeremy Hill goes out there and has a great game. They might let Gio rest another week after that. It's a short week against Cleveland. He could have another big game. So I love the idea of picking him up, stashing him. You don't have to start him, but he is a number two running back for me this week. You too?
Yeah, he's top 15 for me.
Where do you have Mohamed Sanu?
Top 15 also.
Yeah. I've got him 17th. But I agree. I think he could have a very good game against Jacksonville. Bengals DST, if they're still out there in your league, go ahead and give them a try, even though they're down a couple of starters. Even though Jacksonville might put up points in the fourth quarter and a come-from-behind-slash-garbage-time effort, I still think they're still worth going with. Tampa Bay at Cleveland, we go from one riveting game between a Florida team and an Ohio team to another. And the Buccaneers did not look good last week, and that's putting it mildly. Doug Martin doesn't look like he's going to end up playing. You're going to see a lot of Bobby Rainey. We'll see the debut of Charles Sims. It is expected that he'll get around 10 touches. It's his first NFL game. It's somebody to look at. I don't know if I would necessarily start him. I would absolutely pick him up, and I'll check just how much he's available or how available he is in CBS leagues in a second. But, Jamie, if you don't mind, talk about the guys that you like in the Tampa Bay offense this game.
There aren't very many. Bobby Rainey, I think, is in that same Denard Robinson conversation as a serviceable number two guy this week because of the matchup and because of the workload. The 10 touches for Charles Sims was actually a friend of mine that works in Tampa Bay, one of the reporters there. And he sort of just speculated. Lovie Smith has kind of been hedging his bets a little bit on if Charles Sims is even going to play. So I don't know if you want to even consider Charles Sims this week.
I don't think you can, but he's available still.
Oh, you pick him up.
I mean, 68% of CBS leagues.
Yeah, you pick him up. You see what you have there in the next couple weeks. And hopefully he comes out and plays, you know, great. But I still think you're talking right now, Bobby Rainey's the only running back there. And then the receiver is the only one I would consider is Mike Evans. I think you're going to see Joe Hayden match up with Vince Jackson. He's been banged up. He hasn't been playing well. One game with double digits in fantasy points on the season. That's in standard leagues. And Mike Evans has at least 7 fantasy points in his last 4. So
I was very discouraged by Vincent Jackson last week. He looked out of sync with Mike Glennon. I don't know what went down there, but it was really struggling. He was struggling, and I was disappointed in how he played. He should have had a better game. And I wonder if Mike Glennon kind of noticed it too, because the targets went more toward Mike Evans than it did V-Jack. So it's something to keep in mind, but I don't know if I feel very good about starting Vincent Jackson.
This happened last year, if you recall. It was a little bit, it took a little bit longer. But, you know, we saw how Glennon started, and it was just peppering
Vincent Jackson
with targets. And then all of a sudden he went away from him. And so now I wonder if it's just another of those situations of teams know that that's his guy. You obviously know he's the best receiver on that team, but you know they know that that's what Glennon does. And maybe, look, Glennon also is a year more knowledgeable in the NFL, knowledgeable in the offense, or different offense, but near more knowledgeable in the NFL, understanding what he wants to do, develops his, you know, progressions a little bit more, and they also have another target that they didn't have last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to the Browns running game. Ben Tate should continue to lead the way for them. I think Terrence West might end up being next in line at this point.
Yeah.
Thoughts on those two?
Tate's a starter, number two running back. I think it's hard to get away from him at this point. And the other guys are just kind of real, real, real Hail Marys.
Okay, Ben Tate or Denard Robinson? Let's try and add a little clarity to this number two running back.
I would go with Tate because I think he's going to score.
I'll take Robinson because even if Tate scores, he might not get a lot of yardage, and I think Robinson is a better bet for the yardage. What about Ben Tate or Jeremy Hill?
I'd go Hill.
I would too. Ben Tate or Bobby Rainey?
Tate.
Is it even close?
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty close.
I think they both have the chances to score. But Tate, I know, is guaranteed the workload. I don't know that Bobby Rainey is. If Sims plays, if they go to Mike James, if they're trailing, which they're probably going to be, I just don't know how much I want to trust Bobby Rainey. We got burned by him the last time he was a quote-unquote starter, and he fumbles too.
Yeah, that fumbling really stunk. There's a player I love for Cleveland. I don't know why I'm so coughy today. What's with me? I'm sorry about that. Andrew Hawkins, wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns. He continues to lead the team in targets, continues to be a good factor, not a huge factor, on offense for them. But you look at this Tampa Bay secondary, it's bad. Now they're putting Major Wright in as a starter at safety. That is a big bullseye right down the field against Tampa Bay. And with Jordan Cameron not expected to play, Jamie, I think you're going to see Hawkins get a lot of quality targets. And the run game, if it can't get going, he might see upwards of 14 targets in this game. He catches a good dose of them. I think he could be in line for a monster day in PPR. and a very good day in standard leagues too. I actually have him as I have him outside of my top 24 receiver right now, but I'm going to move him up. I'm going to put him in toward the bottom and make him a low end number two receiver. How do you feel about Andrew Hawkins this week?
I think he's a good number three. Doesn't score touchdowns, and so I don't see that changing in a game where they're probably not going to be chasing points. So I think he's very, very good PPR guy. His numbers have been very good when Jordan Cameron was out. His numbers should be good again this week. I think he can get you 8 or 9 fantasy points in a standard league, which makes him on the cusp of a number two guy.
What is he doing in a PPR then? Is it like double that, 16, 17?
PPR, he could be a top 15 receiver. You know, so I think he's an excellent starting option this week. He was dropped in a lot of leagues, rightfully so, because he disappears and, again, doesn't score touchdowns. But if you need a receiver in a three-receiver league, if you need somebody, and certainly in PPR leagues, he was available in a PPR league. So I picked him up, and I'm starting this week where I don't have Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, nice move. Brian Hoyer, where does he rank on the desperation o-meter?
He's in the conversation. You know, it's a very good matchup. It's just between him and Alex Smith, these two guys just don't take advantage of these matchups because they don't have a lot of success throwing the ball. Their targets, their receiving core is limited. The guys around them are limited. They're on run-first teams. So I think actually Cleveland's running game gets going this week because of the opponent who they're facing. And so I just don't have a lot of faith in Hoyer. I don't have a lot of faith in his guys to say they're going to be slam dunks. You know, I like that you're excited about Andrew Hawkins. And I think people should be. But what exactly are you getting from him?
You kind of need him to score on top of getting the yardage for him to really be a beast. And I don't think he can be a beast, but I think he can be a serviceable starter, more so in PPR than standard. And it'll mean Hoyer has to throw. He can't have one of these games where he attempts just 17 passes. He's got to attempt 17 passes toward Andrew Hawkins is what he needs to do. But I don't know if they get going as much as you think they will running the ball. The opponent is right. There's no question about it. But the offensive line is really bad, especially right on the interior. It's going to be a problem until they can finally find a decent replacement for Alex Mack at center. Jamie, let's move on to Philadelphia at Houston. We're going to differ a little bit on Nick Foles. When it's all said and done, he might end up in my top 12 at quarterback. But I don't love him this week, even though the matchup and everything suggests that he'll do well. He's going to play without one of his starting offensive linemen again. Another one is going to be banged up. He's going to play with a torn bicep. I think we're going to get his center back. That'll help things out for him. I'm not encouraged enough by Nick Foles, and I know he had a good game last week. I don't see him being a 30-point fantasy quarterback. I think he's going to be closer to 20, 21, maybe 22 in fantasy points.
Yeah, I don't think he's a 30-point guy. I think he's a top 10 quarterback this week, which puts him in the 20 to 24 range. I think he's going to have his third game of the season with 20 or more fantasy points because everybody throws success against this team. They're a miserable secondary, and he lines up in shotgun more often than not, which gives him an extra second or two. If his decision-making is good, which is always a question with him, his receiving core is playing as well as it has been all year. I just think he's going to have an opportunity to make plays against this defense, which is horrendous, outside of their defensive line. Everything about them is bad. So I just see typical Nick Foles game. He'll be around 300 yards. He'll be around 2 touchdowns. He'll be around 2 interceptions. And you just got to understand that. You know, so if you're in a league that gets heavily penalized for turnovers, avoid him. If you're in a league that gets minimal penalties for turnovers, you're going to be very excited about him because he's going to have good numbers.
He's good. He's not great. I kind of feel like that's the impression that you have of him. That's what I have. Maybe you just like him a little bit more than I do.
I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think he's in a good system. He's got good talent around him. I think his decision-making, like I said, is pretty bad. He tries to force throws with his arm that he doesn't have. And there's just times where he just makes you really frustrated, you know, because there's a very good offense around him. And if he just made the smart throw instead of the stupid throw, his numbers would be better across the board.
6 straight quarterbacks have put up multiple touchdowns on Houston. Only 4 have managed to get 20 fantasy points, and only 1 had more than 22. And it's Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt at home worries me a little bit about Nick Foles being under a little bit too much pressure. We used to not talk about LeSean McCoy on these podcasts because he was a no-brainer, must-start guy.
He still is.
Tell me why you think that.
Because he gets
the work.
And
I'll tell you why I'm a little nervous.
He gets the work.
But even with the work, how many games has he had? Now, listen, I don't think anybody's looking for those 20-point games from him. But what about 15-point games? Where are those games
from? They've been missing. But you see what happens with guys when they start to get work, and then eventually it starts to happen for them. I mean, look at Eddie Lacy last week without a healthy James Starks. What did he do? He got work, came through. So I just see him getting the work. At some point, he's going to break through and have a monster game. Would not be surprised if this is if it happens this week. I just don't trust this Houston defense. I know that those pass rushers are very good, but there's only two of them.
We do have Darren Sproles coming back this week. I don't think that's going to make a big impact on LeSean McCoy. But the Texans' run defense has come around. They're giving up 3.03 yards per carry in their last three games, but that does include last week's game over the Titans. They stink against the run. Backs are averaging 9.8 yards per catch against them. And that includes Tennessee and their bad running backs again. So I'd like to see LeSean McCoy get used a little bit more out of the backfield, get that work, get effective work as a pass catcher, as well as getting those 20 carries a game. So he's in my top 12. I think I've got him like 11th or so. Jamie, I know you've got him higher than that.
Yeah, top five for me.
Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper. I know I think Maclin has kind of replaced McCoy as the guy that you just start blindly, don't worry about it. And the matchup is good for him, and I think Foles can find him. Remember, Foles can solve a bunch of turnovers and have a so-so fantasy game, while Maclin can put up big numbers and have a great fantasy game. Let's not even talk about Riley Cooper because you're going to have to be desperate to start him. Zach Ertz, tough matchup for him this week against Houston. Do you have to be desperate to start Zach Ertz?
I think, yeah, it's just a matter of, do you want to, you know, go the Lance Kendricks route, you know, if you're talking about tight ends, Jason Morrow, you know, if you want to go with one of those guys, you certainly can do it. I would probably just take my chance with Zach Ertz. The targets are still there. So, you know, that's the way it should be.
Okay. Wide receivers in Houston, DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson. Every week, everybody debates them. No one's sure what to do. Who do you like best of the two? I think you're going to say DeAndre Hopkins. That's who I would say. But are they both possibly starting options?
No. I think Andre Johnson's the third receiver at best.
What about DeAndre?
Oh, he's a must start.
Explain why.
Well, you look at his production. I mean, it's now – so they haven't had their bye week yet. So they've played 8 games. So it was 6 of 8 going into last week where he had either a touchdown or 100 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. Now it's 7 of 9 where he's had – a touchdown or 90 yards receiving. So, I mean, it's pretty good track record.
I like the fact that Philadelphia allowed a bunch of big plays last week to Arizona.
Their secondary stinks.
And I think that the Houston can try and capitalize on that, and I think DeAndre is the perfect guy for it. So he hasn't scored or delivered 10 or more fantasy points in 4 weeks, but Philadelphia's allowed 4 receivers to get 10 or more points in their last 3 games. 4 receivers in 3 games. So I think he's definitely somebody that you can check on as a good start. Andre Johnson, on the other hand, he has 8 or more targets in each of the last 4 weeks. Of the 10 receivers to get 8 or more targets against Philadelphia this year, 6 have found 10 or more fantasy points. So it's like a 60% shot on Andre Johnson, who's getting the targets. I think he's good enough to be a low-end receiver this week, a low-end number 2.
He doesn't score touchdowns.
But I think he can get 7 catches, 90 yards, maybe even break 100 and have
that'd be great. I think, look, a lot of people have Andre Johnson. They continue to start him. You know, they're just kind of stuck. You draft him with an early round pick. You don't feel comfortable with the John Browns of the world. I get it. You start him.
So if we like DeAndre Hopkins and we like Andre Johnson and we know that Arian Foster is going to have his usual numbers, or at least we assume so, does Ryan Fitzpatrick get in the conversation as a bye week quarterback replacement?
If you want the one touchdown that he'll throw to DeAndre Hopkins and the 2 interceptions that he'll probably throw, because that's who he is, and the Eagles defense is very opportunistic in creating turnovers, I just think I know you're excited for Andre Johnson. I don't see him scoring, so I don't know where the second touchdown comes from. He can get it to Arian Foster, certainly. We've seen him do that, but we haven't seen him get 2 touchdowns consistently in the course of the season.
So let's do bye week hell waiver wire discussion. Do you go with Alex Smith or do you go with Fitzpatrick?
I go Alex Smith.
And we'll talk about that game in a little bit. What about Brian Hoyer or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'd go with Hoyer.
I'd take Fitzpatrick. I know he will throw 30 times, whereas Brian Hoyer, he might only throw 20 times. What about RG3? RG3 versus Ryan Fitzpatrick, is it even a question?
I'd go RG3.
I would too. All right. Defenses in this game. I think Philadelphia is just okay. I think Houston actually can step up and get a couple of turnovers, get a couple of sacks, more than a couple of sacks. They might be able to get 3 or 4 sacks And I think Houston's actually a decent option, even though they're going to allow a bunch of points and probably a bunch of yards too. So I would probably aim for them first, Philadelphia next. But I like defenses like the Vikings, the Redskins, right up there with them. You can consult our rankings for more. Break out your bingo cards. It's time to read our Squarespace ad. Today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. And it's because of new features, new designs, better support that Squarespace gives you a chance at building the website of your dreams. It's easy to use, and they've got customer support that's there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It starts at just $8 a month. It includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year to just get started on building your own website, which will automatically include a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website. Your content's going to look great on every device every single time. You can begin for free. You don't even have to use a credit card. Start with a free trial. Build the website today. And when you sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code FUN to get 10% off. And that'll help us here at CBSSports.com and at Fantasy Football Today and this podcast. So we would appreciate your support. Squarespace has everything you need to create an exceptional website. I told you we would talk about the Jets and the Chiefs. Let's do it now. Can you come up with Jets players you would start? The over-under on words, or maybe I should say names and not words, over-under on first and last names of Jets you would start is at 1.5. Would you take the over or under?
Under.
Because it's just Chris Ivory and that's it.
That's it.
I made a panic trade, as it turns out, this week, where I looked at my roster and I was thin on talent because I was getting beat up by the Week 9 bye.
Right.
And
there's nobody on waivers you could have picked up?
There was, but I would have had to have cut somebody.
Oh.
So so I'm looking at my roster. I've got a bunch of guys on bye. I'll tell you what. I could have dropped Joseph Randle, but I wanted to keep him. I don't have DeMarco Murray, and I tried to trade DeMarco Murray, and I couldn't get that done. So I made a deal where I traded Josh Gordon for Eric Decker. And it's a PPR league, so I don't think it's quite that bad. And, you know, Josh Gordon is a huge wild card, but I needed somebody who could play this week. As it turns out, I had Jeremy Hill on my roster. Looks like Gio's not going to play. Jeremy Hill's in my lineup. I had Lorenzo Talaferro picked up after last week. He's going to start for my team. Mm-hmm. And I also was able to claim Tim Wright off waivers. And in this league specifically, there are bonus points for tight ends catching passes. That gives them just a little bit of an edge over wide receivers. So
who'd you cut to get him?
I might have been carrying him all along.
Oh.
But I might have cut somebody like Isaiah Crowell, who I've been carrying for a long time. So I made this trade thinking, well, now I can use Eric Decker, and I've got, you know, I'll have all my spots filled this week, and then I'll just worry about what I do with Eric Decker.
I don't know if you mentioned it. Your team is very good, right?
The team is. I'm 5-3.
Right.
But the problem is that there's five other teams besides mine that's 5-3, and it's a 14-team PPR league.
Right.
So I don't want to lose. I have to keep winning to make the playoffs and then hopefully win. So I traded Josh Gordon for Decker, and now I might not even start him after I made that trade all the other guys that were on my bench that are going to end up being elevated in my starting
lineup. That's why I wanted you to make reference of your record, because clearly you are playoff bound where Josh Gordon is relevant. It's not a situation where, you know, you're needing to win now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously you don't want to take a loss, but you have playoff aspirations. You're not 3-5. You're 5-3.
Right.
You know, like I made a trade because I need to win now. Mm-hmm. I traded Brandon Marshall on a bye to get T.Y. Hilton. Forget about the merits of the trade, who the players are. I need somebody to help me this week.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't necessarily need someone to help you this week.
No, but I felt like I did because there are so many teams that are 5-3. In first place, there's only one team that's in first place, and they beat me last week by like 9 points, and I'm not bitter about it, bastard. But they're 6-2. So the top team in the league, I'm just a game behind them. And this is a competitive, tough league. There's a lot of fun prizes at the end that rhymes with funny. So I want to get as much funny as I can in this league. And so I hit the panic button, and it was back when we thought that Gio was going to play. The whole point of this whole ramble is that Eric Decker isn't that great of a start against Kansas City. And there will be matchups, hopefully, down the line where he does end up starting. But I'll ask you, because I have to make this decision. And, in fact, I already made it. Tim Wright or Eric Decker in a PPR league?
Oh, in the league you're in, it's not close because of the bonuses.
The bonus is that every single tight end catch counts for a point.
Yeah.
Receivers start getting points per catch with their third catch. So if a receiver goes out and gets two catches for 20 yards, that's two fantasy points.
Right.
But if he gets three catches for 20 yards, that's 3 points.
And he may have four catches. You know, it's not like
he might get four for 50.
You're not talking about a guy that's going to go out there and catch 7-8 passes. Once upon a time, he used to crush this team. But that's a totally different situation for him.
Part of me wants to start him just because I traded for him.
Well, don't do that.
Just to say, you know what? I got him on my team for a reason, and now I got to do something with him. But if I could go back in time, I'm not ashamed to admit that I would take that trade back, and I would be very happy with my team if I didn't need Eric Decker.
Did the team that you traded with, are they a playoff bound?
They are. They are also 5-3.
So you could be looking at a situation where you're facing Josh Gordon in the playoffs.
It's possible. But I'm also not sold on Josh Gordon coming back and being the exact same guy he was last
year. Totally understand. But at this point, you would, and I assume based on your statement of taking the trade back, you would anticipate Josh Gordon.
I would take the trade back
at the time,
to get a better player if I
needed
to.
Well, no, I was
going to
say, at the time of Josh Gordon stepping on the field, his upside automatically becomes better than Eric Decker's. At least the way I view it.
I would view it that way, too. But I remember drafting him. I remember drafting him late in my draft, thinking, okay, well, at the very least, this will turn into a good starter for my team. And I got an okay starter. And he's not even that great of a starter. He's just okay. And you know, Michael Vick has had success throwing passes to receivers before, obviously, and he's gotten some good numbers out of wideouts previously. But I don't know if I'm really feeling it with Eric Decker this week. And the Jets are just so ugly right now on both sides of the ball. Jamaal Charles should have a monster game. Travis Kelce is somebody that I'm looking at to have a breakout game this week. The matchup is great for him. The Jets have allowed multiple touchdowns to tight ends. I think it's four games this year that that the Jets have struggled against tight ends. The Chiefs have to notice this. I know that they're an execution offense. They won't change their game plan much, but they've got to start trying to get him involved a little bit more in the offense, don't
they? They did last week. I mean, like I said, every time we talk about him, it's not an overwhelming stat, but he tied Dwayne Bowe for a team lead in targets with six. And so if you tell me that, however their targets are dispersed, if he's at the top, that means at least they're trying. And so it was a tough matchup against the Rams. He didn't score, didn't get double digits, but you know what? Wouldn't be surprised if he has one of his better games this week.
Say no to Dwayne Bowe. Try not to start Alex Smith if you can help it. Give me a couple words on Chris Ivory, just going back to him and why you love him this
week. Every time he's touched the ball, every time he's had 10 carries, he's got you 9 or more fantasy points in standard league. They know he's their guy. They're not going back to Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson's already talking about that he's frustrated with his lack of playing time. I don't think Rex Ryan says, okay, we're going to, you know, kowtow to you and let you get back on the field. He's just not that good of a player. So the one concern would be is that the Chiefs just stacked the line of scrimmage, and he has a lot of difficulty finding space, but he's been used as a receiver much more than I ever would have anticipated. And I think he's just too physical of a runner that he's not going to create his own space. So he can get to the edge. He can get up, you know, he can, you know, use his physicality to, you know, run between tackles. I just think he's a special talent, and he's proving it.
I'm a little worried about the matchup, and it's because of this statistic. Of the six running backs with at least 10 carries against the Chiefs, only two have had 9 or more fantasy points. None have scored. Now, listen, he took on a defense last week that didn't allow any running backs to score, and he had a monster game against them. And I understand that he's a hot hand, and you're probably going to be better off starting Chris Ivory than not. But if you want to debate it, you can always check our rankings, and Jamie is far more optimistic on him than I am. But even I still have him as a number two running back. Later on this afternoon, the San Diego Chargers are expected to arrive in South Florida as they get ready for their Week 9 game against the Dolphins. We have talked a lot about Phillip Rivers on our video programming. We've talked about him a lot during this week. He did not have a good game against Miami last year in Miami. He is going to take on a defense in the Dolphins that have been very good against top quarterbacks and even some less than stellar quarterbacks lately, too. Phillip Rivers, it's a tough guy to get away from this week because there's a lot of quarterbacks on bye, but I think it's easy if you've got Phillip Rivers and Colin Kaepernick or Phillip Rivers and Carson Palmer to go with the other guys and to sit Phillip Rivers because I don't think that he's going to have great success in another 3-touchdown game against these Dolphins who have been playing so well everywhere on defense.
Yeah, the first team to crack the Bears offense. You know, just in terms of shutting down those receivers. Now, again, whether you think that that's the Dolphins doing it or the Bears doing it to themselves, totally get it. They did a very good job against the Packers until the fourth quarter. but that's Aaron Rodgers. You know, since Rashad Jones has come back from suspension, that's a very good secondary. When you look at those two cornerbacks, they're playing very well, Brent Grimes and Cortland Finnegan. And so I just wonder if Rivers can get that second touchdown, which, you know, he's done more often than not. So you have to just take your chances. It's more of a bold call by me than probably the conventional thought. But to have him outside my top 12, you know, and to say that Ryan Tannehill in the same game is better than Phillip Rivers, who's an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to understand that what the Dolphins have done, road trip. If this is in San Diego, I wouldn't feel the same way. But it's factoring in the long road trip. It's factoring in the way the Dolphins have played. It's factoring that Rivers has gotten a little turnover prone the last two games. And Miami does a very good job of getting after the quarterback. You know, they have at least 3 sacks in, I believe, each of their last 4 games.
What about Brandon Oliver, who's somebody who I don't like, but I think you're on board with him as a number two running back?
I think they're going to continue getting the work. That's been the weakness of the Dolphins. Denard Robinson showed that last week, too. He'll get the catches out of the backfield. So he's in that Robinson conversation, the guys we were talking about as number two running backs. I don't think he's a great start this week, but I think he's a top 20 guy.
He has 141 total yards on 37 total touches in his last two games with no touchdowns. The Broncos were all over him last week, so I don't think he's as bad as he looked last week. Starting running backs have posted at least 100 total yards on the Dolphins in each of their last two games. I'm a little worried about Donald Brown coming back and taking away some work from him, and I'm a little worried about him being just as ineffective, or not being just as ineffective, but being a little less ineffective, which is to say he will still struggle against the Dolphins front this week than he was last week. So I'm not a huge Oliver fan for fantasy purposes. What about Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd, Eddie Royal, these San Diego receivers? If you don't like Phillip Rivers, I feel like you can't like these guys either. Allen scored last week, but he's still not getting a lot of yardage with his catches. He's averaging less than 10 catches per game, so the targets are there. He's a much safer bet in PPR than standard leagues, and I just think that this Miami pass defense and the secondary in general is playing too good of football right now to let Keenan Allen have a breakout game against him, unless he gets 13 targets, 14 targets. It's possible, but I don't know if it's necessarily something that I would bank on this week. So to me, Keenan Allen's more of a third receiver for fantasy purposes. You agree with that?
Yep.
Cool. What about Gates, I think, is a must-start at this point. Let's flip it over to the Dolphins in their passing game. Ryan Tannehill, Mike Wallace. Wallace was a little mouthy. He was talking about how he didn't really love the fit of what the Dolphins have been doing on offense, and certainly last week. Looks like Brandon Flowers is going to play for San Diego. That does help their secondary. I know rookie Jason Verrett's out for a while. What do you think of Wallace this week? Are you trusting him as a number one wide receiver, maybe a number two wide receiver? What do you feel?
It's very hard to get away from him because the way that he scores touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you look at
Is he too touchdown dependent? I mean, obviously
yeah.
He is. He doesn't have any 100-yard games this year.
Yeah, he's definitely touchdown dependent. But okay. Is he is that a bad thing? No.
if he does it every week. Last week was an example of what happens when he doesn't score a touchdown, he really kind of leaves you hanging.
Sure. I mean, is he in the same breath of Julio Jones or Dez Bryant or these guys that you can understand that they don't score all the time? Jordy Nelson didn't score last week against the Saints. You know, Kelvin Benjamin has let you down a couple weeks in a row. But when they do score, and with the chance of them having good games, you just have to understand where they fit in your lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're sold on, you know, like I know you like Julian Edelman this week. If you like Julian Edelman, if you like Andre Johnson and Mike Wallace, is you only start two receivers. So let's say you have a stud. You know, you have Antonio Brown, and then you have Mike Wallace and Julian Edelman and Andre Johnson, which is probably a scenario that some combination of those guys. Do you want to bench Mike Wallace for Andre Johnson, Julian Edelman, and Antonio Brown? I wouldn't do it, but I can understand somebody going that route.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure.
Tannehill, start or sit? Or
yeah,
is he in the bye week quarterback combo?
No, I think he's a top 12 guy. I think he's, you know, like I said, I start him over Rivers. I like the fact that he's running. He missed having the second touchdown last week, which, you know, came back to haunt him. But I buy into the way that he's played, and I buy into that this defense is really starting to struggle a little bit.
Let's talk about FanDuel and their one-week leagues, which are tons of fun. They've got a $3 million guaranteed tournament with a $25 buy-in entry fee, $500,000 to first place. Over 26,000 people are going to win a prize playing in this tournament. Just $25 to enter, includes all the Sunday and Monday games. The Thursday game that happened yesterday does not count in the game. And payouts come on Tuesday after the Monday Night Football game ends. Just go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, I believe, and type in CBS Win for a bonus code that will help you get dollar for dollar on your first deposit. So go to FanDuel.com, take us on in FanDuel Leagues, join us playing one-week games, maybe win a little extra cash. The holidays are coming up. It'll be fun to take advantage of FanDuel and having some extra money for the holidays and to play some fantasy football at the same time. Two games left, and they're both biggies. Baltimore-Pittsburgh, Denver-New England. With the Ravens, they are going to take on a Steelers defense that I'm still not sold on as being a good unit. Obviously, Andrew Luck didn't score enough points last week, and that was part of the reason why he lost. That was pretty much the only reason why he lost. Usually the Colts can put up over 30 points and come away with a win in a game. They couldn't get it done last week. I think Justin Forsett and Lorenzo Talaferro will move forward as the two main running backs there. I like them both as number two running backs, and it's kind of more like middle to low-end number two running backs. You seem to be bigger on Talaferro than I am.
I think he scores.
Do you think that he could end up being better than Justin Forsett for the second straight week? Would you rank it that way?
I think I actually have them 1 point apart. I think I gave Talaferro
Forsett getting the yardage,
like 30 rushing yards and a touchdown, right. And I gave Forsett like 90 total yards.
Okay,
so I don't like that Forsett's receiving ability has been taken away. I don't like.
He got a few catches last week.
Yeah, but he was behind Talaferro in terms of receiving yards, which
because Talaferro had a big catch.
Yeah, but still, in the fourth quarter, I know toward the end of the game, maybe that's when Forsett was dealing with his ankle problem. Talaferro was on their last drive, you know, so maybe that's something that they see. I think that they really love Talaferro. And so, you know, Forsett, I think they realize, which, you know, is the reason why he's a journeyman, is just a guy. He's been playing great. He should definitely have the better opportunity of the two this week just based on touches. But I think they understand that long-term Talaferro could be a special talent.
The last 4 weeks have been tough on Steve Smith. He had one great play at Tampa Bay, and otherwise he's been a dud. But he also had a big touchdown called back last week on a penalty that he caused. It was offensive pass interference. Whether or not he really deserved to get flagged for it is a different story, but he still was. Since Smith's 71-yard game against the Steelers in Week 2, Pittsburgh's allowed 400-yard games and a 99-yard game and 5 touchdowns to wide receivers. I like Smith this week. I think he ends up getting back in the swing of things. I think the targets were there for him last week. I think they're going to continue to be there for him. Owen Daniels' return may or may not impact him, but I would start him this week, and I actually think he's the only Ravens receiver you can trust. I don't like Torrey Smith. I wouldn't like Owen Daniels even if he did play. I don't love Joe Flacco. I think it's really the running backs and Steve Smith, and those are your only considerations for fantasy, but I do think Steve Smith can put together a solid game.
Yeah. I mean, same thing about Mike Wallace. You just have to understand that there's going to be games that disappoint you, but they've been playing so well.
No one does it every week.
Right. They've been playing so well. You just have to understand. I'll gamble that they continue to do it. And the good thing is that most of these guys that we're talking about, Smith, Wallace, they're either number three or number four receivers for you for the most part.
Did a lot of research on Roethlisberger against the Ravens, and it's something like 9 of his last 11 games against Baltimore, he has not put up big fantasy numbers. But I'm going to bet on him this week because that Baltimore secondary lost their best cover corner in Jimmy Smith. It forces them to change the way that they play defense because before they could put Jimmy Smith on one side of the field and feel good about him covering or taking away one receiver or one third of the field, and they would move on and they could get better blitzes. Now they can't do that. And I think Roethlisberger, he's taking on an okay pass rush. I don't think they're as good as their reputation suggests. And I think Roethlisberger has another good game, and they've improved with Martavis Bryant. I think Bryant keeps it going. We know Antonio Brown is going to have a solid game as well. Le'Veon Bell also can be an impact player catching passes out of the backfield. That all helps Roethlisberger. So he's in my top 12, definitely in my top 10 as well, and someone I feel good about starting this week.
I agree.
Le'Veon Bell is going to be a must-start for everybody. Do you have anything to add about Martavis Bryant?
I think he's worth the gamble. You know, I mean, like you said, they're moving their guys around in their secondary because of the injury to Smith. And so now maybe Ladarius Webb is the quote-unquote cover guy, you know, the shadow corner. That would open things up, you know, more so for Bryant. Not that they're going to shy away from getting Antonio Brown going. So, yeah, I think he has an opportunity. They'll take some shots. It's just a matter, again, where you pick them up. Like, I made a trade yesterday where I traded Terrence Williams and Jerick McKinnon in a 20-team league to get Matt Forte, so I can't use Forte. I only have one receiver because Calvin Johnson's on a bye, so I was only carrying two, and I picked up Bryant to be my third. He's the guy I'm starting. It's the only league where I'm starting him, but I don't have a problem with him. He's a good value on FanDuel if you want to take a chance that he scores twice again. So it's not a bad situation to dial him up.
What which Heath Miller do you think shows up this week? The one that gets a bunch of targets and scores, or the one that gets not very many targets and gets like 50 yards?
I think somewhere in between. You know, he has a chance to be a 6 or 7 point guy. I just don't think he scores.
Yeah. I don't love either DST either. If I had to pick one, it would be the Ravens because they still have some decent players.
Yeah, I actually go the other route. I'd go with the Steelers.
I don't like the talent.
I totally agree. But Flacco on the road, he's so turnover prone on the road. And we saw last week they did get a pick six on a very good quarterback. That tends to be turnover prone too. Andrew Luck has been a little turnover prone.
I'll start and possibly end on this question between the Broncos and the Patriots because I don't think there's any argument to be made to sit any of the stud players in this game. Who are the players that you are most afraid of starting from the Broncos and the Patriots this week?
Welker and Edelman.
Those are the only two?
Thompson. You know, I wouldn't buy into that.
So Peyton Manning, no doubter. Ronnie Hillman, to me, is a no doubter. To you, he's a no doubter.
Yeah, sure.
Demaryius, Emmanuel Sanders, everybody's going to start them. Julius Thomas, a couple of bad weeks, doesn't scare me one bit. I think he actually has a monster game against New England. They've struggled with tight ends. Brady's going to be fine. I think Vereen's just a guy you got to shrug your shoulders and go with, even though he didn't have a great game last week. Did have the opportunities, just couldn't come through right at the goal line. And then you've got LaFell. You've got Edelman. Oh, Gronk, obviously, he's a no-brainer. I'm feeling it with Edelman this week. I think you're going to see him involved again. And Edelman had two huge games against the Broncos last season. I understand it's a completely different offense now. Brady has more weapons to throw to. He had Gronk for one of those two games, the regular season game and not the other one. But I think the Patriots always take this kind of cautious ball control approach with their offense against the Broncos. And it's to keep Peyton Manning off the field. And I think you could see Edelman get a bunch of short area passes, move the chains, not necessarily get targeted deep, but I think he could get a lot of volume this week. And that's why I would trust him in my fantasy lineup, just based on heavy volume that we haven't seen from Edelman in the past couple of weeks because they didn't need him.
Ben, who's losing targets?
I think you'll see LaFell lose the targets. And I think I don't think you'll see the Patriots run the ball 25 times. I don't think they'll run it that much.
I almost think that that's their MO.
Is to run. I think they'll have a hard time doing it. And that's why they
won't. I don't disagree with that, but I think they're going to try. And I think you'll see – that's kind of why I like Jonas Gray. I think you're going to see him get probably in the neighborhood of 15 carries.
What does he do with them against the Broncos?
Well, it depends how the Broncos are playing them. You know, if they come out and do some play action and have some success throwing the ball early, I don't think they're going to get away from throwing the ball in the beginning part of the game because Brady's been so hot. So if they're, you know, safety's dropping back and you're seeing their cornerbacks off, you know, backing up a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised if Gray has some success. Look, they've been playing very well offensively, you know, and I know it hasn't been, you know, dominating on the ground, but I still think that's what Belichick tries to do against Peyton Manning. It's been his history. And last week maybe was let's see if we have a guy who can move the chains a little bit. And what did Gray have, 14 for 80? I was impressed.
You think he can do that again, get another 80 yards?
No,
rushing?
I think he could be 40 or 50 yards rushing, you know, with, again, those 15 carries. Not going to be a pretty yards per carry. But I do think that if they get inside the five, if they're not in their hurry up, they'll bring him in and maybe he punches one in.
They can be in their hurry up and still bring him in. They do a good job substituting players. I'm not really worried about that. Timothy Wright's a name we talked about earlier. I'm going to start him over Eric Decker this week in my PPR league. And I think he could be a real key to this game for New England, just almost right up there with Edelman. And, in fact, if there's a guy that I'm worried about making my Edelman prediction look bad, it's not LaFell. It's Timothy Wright, who could be a seam buster and a guy that really has a matchup in his favor against the Broncos.
Yep, I agree.
I think that's about it. You know, both of the defenses in this game, this is just the last quick point. I don't think you can use either the Broncos or the Patriots. But the Patriots have a bye next week. Then they take on the Colts, the Lions, and the Packers, and then the Chargers in week 14. I would cut the Patriots DST right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would cut them now, find another DST, and let New England sit there on waivers and let some other poor schlub pick them up and use them. Jamie, I wish you all the best of luck in your leagues in week 9. Everybody listening, thank you so much for doing so. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for your support. Thank you to Squarespace. Thank you to FanDuel. And thank you to the fantasy gods for bestowing fantasy greatness on each and every one of us. For Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Dave Richard. Happy Halloween.
Bye.